Spirit. Hallelujah. The presence of God in our lives. There is no substitute for that. Amen. For His Spirit, His presence, His renewing, His healing, His hope. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you have hope today?
Yes.
How many of you have faith today?
Yes.
How many of you have healing today? Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. We're a blessed people. The blessings of the Lord maketh a man rich and addeth no sorrow. Hallelujah. So I'm thankful for the blessings of God in my life that make me rich. And I find out more and more it's not about the number in your bank account.
Amen.
Amen. Richness has very little to do about the size of the bill in your wallet, the size of the number in your bank account. It has everything to do with the peace of God that rules your heart. Amen. Paul said, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Hallelujah. So it's not about, you know, I'm on the top of the world when, you know, when things are good and then I'm down. You know, I don't think we have to live a Christian life that we're up here one day and down here one day. Amen.
Amen.
You believe that? I don't believe that. I think, you know, in times past we used to sing the song, there'll be one more valley, one more hill. One more trial, one more spill. Dad used to say, I think it was tear, but he used to say spill. One more trial, one more hill. And even though we have trials in our lives sometimes, I don't think we need to come to expect that as the norm. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, and I think what we do sometimes by, you know, we think there'll be one more valley, one more hill. This is just, you know, till I get over there and then I'm going to have some peace of mind and I'm going to have some hope and I'm going to have some life. But I believe God wants us to live the abundant life right here and right now. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Amen. And I don't believe we have to live in a place of expectation that, you know, there's going to be a valley, then a hill, and then a valley, and then a hill. I believe we can live and soar as the eagles, as the scripture says, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. How many know eagles don't have valley experiences? Hallelujah. And so I believe that the scripture declares that we can rise above whatever circumstances are in our lives. Hallelujah. And so I'm not going to sing or pray over myself one more valley, one more hill, one more trial, one more tear. Amen. Hallelujah. We are way more blessed than we think we are. Hallelujah. We're blessed coming in. We're blessed going out. Hallelujah. The goodness of God in our lives. And so, you know, I believe sometimes, well, I believe what we profess over ourselves, I believe what we declare, and I believe what comes out of our mouth sometimes determines where we walk.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? See, we can profess gloom and doom, or we can declare the goodness of the Lord and live in the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Yeah.
Amen? I mean, we want to live in the land of the living.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so I believe as we begin to declare the goodness of God among men, the goodness of God in our lives, the goodness of God is what leads men to repentance. Amen? It's not fear, not wrath, torment, but the scripture says it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Hallelujah. And so I believe we serve a good God today. I believe we serve a great big God. I believe we serve a miraculous God. You just sang it. Do you believe it? It said our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is like no other. Hallelujah. Our God is awesome in power. Hallelujah. And so sometimes we've got to declare and speak to our circumstances that says, oh, no, circumstances. My God is awesome. My God is great. My God is powerful. Hallelujah. How many have ever seen the awesome hand of God in your life? Amen. Hallelujah. Daily we see the strength and the awesome power of God in our life. Well, I'm going to go go ahead and bring me up the Romans 8 and 15, Steph. And I'm going to end up in Exodus, I think, today, but we're going to start out in Romans. And I may need you to jump back a little bit for me. I mean, believe we're a people of victory. We're the head, not the tail. We're the first and not the last. Hallelujah. Can you jump back to verse 11 in Romans 8 and take it through 15? Hallelujah. It says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Do you believe that his spirit dwells in you this morning?
Yes.
Another translation doesn't say if, it says since. Since the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Hallelujah. I mean, no, he's not just talking about raising up your mortal body in the great beyond once you pass from this life, you know, and pass through death or whatever. He's not just talking about over and yonder. He's talking about right here, right now. But since that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Next verse. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. I refuse to be in debt to the flesh. Verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba Father, Papa God, Abba Father. You have not received the spirit of fear unto bondage. How many know fear can put you in a whole lot of bondage? Now, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but how many have ever dealt in your life with fear? And I'm not just talking about the fearful moment, but when you've been in a situation where it seems like fear literally has its hand gripped around your heart and you're having heart palpitations and you can't half breathe, that's fear. Amen. And sometimes we can live in a state of fear that it dictates what we do. It dictates how we move. It dictates how we respond. But how many know the scripture says we do not have to live under a spirit of fear? He's not given you a spirit of fear. If fear has gripped your heart, it's not of God. And the scripture says you don't have to live in that because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And since it dwells in you, it can quicken and make alive your mortal body that you do not have to be in subjection or under the power of anything that wants to bring you into bondage. Hallelujah. Fear. Fear can so dictate our life. Fear for the future, fear for, our health, fear for finances, whatever it is that we fear sometimes. How many know sometimes it rears its ugly head, but you don't have to allow it to dominate your thoughts and your minds or to take you captive under its power. He's not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes you've got to speak to yourself and say, I'm not going to allow fear to have a voice in my life. Hallelujah. You got to silence some voices sometimes and say, you know, that voice don't belong in my head. It doesn't belong in my ear. And I do not have to let fear speak into my life. Hallelujah. It's not of God. He did not give us that spirit, but he gave power and love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. So we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. How many know? Fear can be bondage. Bondage can bring fear. Hallelujah. Regardless of what it is. And, we talk about being in bondage. How many know you can be in bondage and not have literal physical bars? You can be imprisoned and be sitting in one of the nicest houses or greatest mansions in the world and still be in prison. Amen. Whether you're imprisoned by thoughts or whether you're imprisoned by actions or whatever it is, emotions, whatever it is that's crippling to you, hallelujah. But the scripture says that we do not have to live under the power of that. Aren't you glad for that today? We have that same spirit, the dunamis, the dynamite power of God, the power of the Holy Ghost that lives inside of you is a powerful force. Do you believe that today? Because if you believe it, you'll enact it and you'll live under the power of that. Hallelujah. You will live under the power of the power of the Holy Ghost that's in your life. Hallelujah. And the power of the Holy Ghost is the spirit of the comforter that comes to live in you, that leads and guides you into all truth. I mean, a whole lot of times, if we'll trust the Holy Ghost in our life, we won't be fearful because we know He's got us. Amen? What happens sometimes is we get in a place where we think, okay, God, where are you, or have you left us? How many know the scripture says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. Even unto the end of the world, or even unto the end of the age, Jesus promises, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So you are never without the presence of God in your life. Now, I believe that's a twofold kind of thing. We think sometimes we can walk in and out of the presence of God. I think we believe that we can walk away from God and God's nowhere to be found. But the scripture declares, I will never leave you. So here's what I think. I think even in your darkest hour, I'm still there. Even in your best day, I'm still there. You may not see me. You may not be reaching out to me, but I'm going to tell you, I'm there. I got you. I got you covered. Hallelujah. David said, though I ascend under the heavens, you are there. And though I make my bed in hell, you are there. Where can I go to flee from your presence, oh God? I mean, there is no place we can go to flee from the presence of God in my life. We need to shout amen to that, because regardless of what I do or what my actions say, it's not even dependent on my works or my actions, because He made a covenant with me that said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That even if I break my end of covenant, even when I walk outside of the boundaries of where I need to be, there's still a faithful Father that says, I'm here and I got you. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that's good news to me today. That's encouraging to me today, because I spent a whole lot of my life thinking I stepped in and out of the presence of God and stepped in and out of the will of God and stepped in and out of where God was strong in my life. But I come to find out He never left me. He never forsook me. And regardless of what I thought my actions had to do with it, His actions at the cross were more powerful. They were more greater than any action I ever did, and nothing I ever did in Adam was ever more powerful than what God did in Christ, in Jesus on the cross. You need to know that today. Nothing you've ever done in your own flesh or in Adam is more powerful than what God did for you at the cross of Calvary. And I want to tell you, that'll set you free today. It doesn't set you free to run. It doesn't set you free to go crazy into things that might destroy you. It sets me free to say, He's got my back. He's got me covered. And He loves me more than I love myself. So even when I stoop to a level where I don't love myself enough to respect myself, my Father loves me. Hallelujah. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine, and He feeds among the lilies. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that He comes looking for me even when I'm not looking for Him. Hallelujah. And let me tell you what, you might be sitting at your desk and you might feel Him tapping on your shoulder. You might be driving down the road in the car and you might hear Him speaking in your voice. You might be listening to a country music song and all of a sudden Jesus starts speaking to you. See, I believe that some of the greatest love songs written are probably country music and rock and roll, although I don't listen to a lot of that, don't have time for that. But let me tell you what, sometimes we need to hear a good old love song that says, have I told you lately that I love you? Have I told you that there's no one above you? Have I told you just how much I'm head over heels in love with you today? Hallelujah. Because love will cover a multitude of our sins. Hallelujah. And so I'm learning to fall head over heels in love with my Jesus, because I'm finding out He's got me covered way more than I ever knew. He loves me more ever than I could ever explain or ever grasp. And we will be to the eons of time ever describing and explaining the awesome power of the grace and the unmerited favor of God in our life. Hallelujah. It's an unexplainable thing. I can't explain it. I don't know how to tell you how big it is, how wide it is, except that it's supernatural. Hallelujah. It's outside my box. It's outside of my realm of thinking. It's outside of anything that I could ever portray to you. But I want to tell you, you know, I early on in pastoring and some of those things, I would cry and I would weep, and I see people struggling. I say, God, how do we fix these things? How do we get, you know, people to where they need to be and all of those kind of things? And I come to understand that if we ever just get people to fall head over heels in love, If we ever just get people to fall head over heels in love with my Jesus. But so here's what you got to do. If you want somebody to fall in love, you got to tell them all the wonderful things about him. You got to tell him how good he is. You got to tell him how much he loves you. You got to tell him the wonderful things. See, the reason people haven't fallen in love with Jesus is because his face has been marred more than any man. We've accused him of a whole lot of things that he's not guilty of. We've blamed him for hate crimes. We've blamed him for things that never came out of the heart of Jesus. And we've misportrayed him and we've misrepresented him. But I'm going to tell you, he's a loving God today. He loves you more than you'll ever know. He loved you so much that he stretched out his hands and he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Hallelujah. You got people you need drawn unto God? Lift him up. Exalt him. Tell him how big he is. Tell him the price he paid for you. Tell him what he went to the ends of the earth, that none would perish, but all would have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Falling in love will make you do crazy things. Hallelujah. I told you that before. Falling in love will make you do crazy things. Thank you, baby. Hallelujah. Still make you do crazy things, won't it? It'll make you get up to go to work in the morning when you don't want to because you care about the people in your household. It'll make you do dirty laundry when you really don't want to because you love the people that's there. It'll make you cook dinner. It'll make you stay up all night with holding sick babies in your arm. It'll make you lose sleep. It'll make you sit and mull over homework. It'll make you have to go out and cut wood because the house needs to be warm. It'll make you do crazy things. See, Jim preached last Sunday to us a powerful word about servanthood. And what I love about that, Brother Jim, is I don't have to be a servant. I get to be a servant because Jesus, who was the greatest servant of all, humbled himself. Hallelujah. And thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But even in that mindset, out of a mindset that said, you know what, I could be equal with God, but I don't find it demeaning or belittling to humble myself to be a servant. Hallelujah. Because he said, he that would be the greatest must first be servant of all. Hallelujah. See, there's a difference in being a slave and a servant. A servant operates under a taskmaster. And if you have a mindset of working out of a taskmaster mentality where I got to, or I'm going to get beaten, or I'm going to have these consequences and things like that, you got the wrong mindset. We serve because he is a servant. We love him because he first loved us. I love him because he's just so good to me. Hallelujah. I love him because he's just so good to me. Hallelujah. I'm going to go to Exodus chapter 14 today. And this is a scripture that the Lord dropped in my heart this week. And I'm telling you, who all it's for. I've ministered it over and over this week to different people that have reached out to me in different ways. And maybe it's just for me, but I'm just going to read it to you and we'll see what the Lord has to say about it today. Amen. So in Exodus chapter 14, this is the portion of scripture where the Israelites are just getting ready to come out of bondage. They're getting ready to come out of slavery. They're getting ready to come out of Egypt. How many know in Egypt for a while it was comfortable? Amen? When Joseph was there, and even the pharaohs that served with Joseph, and even for a little while after there, it was comfortable. Things were good there. But all of a sudden, the very things that they thought were good and comfortable there became a taskmaster to them and became a snare to them until the people cried out. And the scripture says, and God heard their prayer. Hallelujah. How many know Moses lived his whole life in the camp or the company of Egyptians, but he was never an Egyptian? There's a difference in living amongst Egyptians and being Egyptian. And I'm not talking about any particular race or creed or anything like that. I'm talking about a mindset of that a bondage or a slavery mentality. Anything that would put you under bondage or anything that would try to enslave you or ensnare you. Hallelujah. What happens to after a while, we get comfortable in that place and we think that there's no way out. Amen. And the people began to cry out to the Lord, and God sent Moses to bring a great deliverance to them and to lead them out of there. And God did miraculous things. He took Moses through some miraculous things to show the power and hand of God to Moses before he ever sent Moses to do it with the children of Israel. Amen? God took Moses through some things. And then to show the people the power of God, God took them even through the plagues of Egypt. Not only did he do that to deliver them out of Egypt and to show the Egyptians that he was a powerful God, but he did it to show the Israelites that he was a powerful God. How many know they had forgot the God that they served? And so God shows himself mighty over and over and over again. And in Exodus chapter 14, they're getting out of Dodge. They're heading out. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. Basically, when I look this up, it's a little narrow place there where there's just no place else to go. They're kind of between a rock and a hard place. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. Now, I want you to keep that in mind. Here it is. They are heading out of Egypt. They are heading out of bondage. God has delivered them, is setting them free. He's taking them on a journey out of the situation they're in. And the scripture says they came out with a high hand. I looked that word up and it says they came out boldly, defiantly, triumphantly, powerfully, confidentially. And that's in being confident. Bold, defiant, triumphant, powerful, confident. And I added with a high five. Let me know when you come out with a high hand, you're coming out with a high five. You're on top of the world. I got a little boy in my class that when he gets to the top of the gold chart, he'll say, how about a high five? Because I'm on the gold today. That's how he do me every day. That's how I know where he's at on the chart. He'll say, how about a high five? Because I'm on gold today. I said, well, you just go. You rock, buddy. You just keep it up. I mean, when you're on high five, you're on top of the chart. You're having a good day. Things are good. You're bold. You're confident. You're triumphant. You're coming out of here thinking, my God has delivered us. He has set us free. Hallelujah. Any of you had some bold, confident, triumphant days here lately where you say, you know what, buddy? I'm coming out, and I'm coming out with a high hand. I'm coming out of bondage. I'm coming out of Egyptian slavery. I'm coming out of whatever's been pursuing me. I'm coming out of whatever's kept me held bondage. I'm coming out of whatever has kept me from my potential, has kept me from my rest in my promised land. Hallelujah. How many knows there are a whole lot of things that'll try to rob your rest from you if you let it? Hallelujah. And I love that. Said, buddy, we're coming out, and we're coming out with a high hand. We're coming out with a high five. We're coming out bold. We're confident. We're victorious. We got this. Our God is an awesome God. Hallelujah. Maybe they're humming that tune on the way out. Our God is an awesome God. Hallelujah. And they're coming out with a high hand. I mean, no, a high hand is not just a mentality, but it also can be a posture. I mean, sometimes you've got to come out with a high hand. Hallelujah. Anybody remember, think back to the first time you ever raised your hand in church when you was worshiping a little bit. If you were like me, you kind of did the little penguin. I call it the penguin praise, you know, yeah. You just kind of get your hand up about this way. That way nobody really around you knows too much if you're praising the Lord. But you got the little penguin praise on, you know. Just got the little hands right here. And then you get a little bit more confidence. And sometimes you get, you know, you get up a little bit higher, you know. This is the raise the roof kind of praise, yeah, you know. And then before you know it, you just, you're up all the way, you know. And then you got the number one, you know. We got it, okay. And then we get both hands up, buddy. We got it now. We're coming out with a high hand. We're coming out with praise. We're coming out worship, you know. And I'm not making fun of, or however you want to praise, you praise. I don't care. You do the pringham praise. You raise the roof praise. You get down on your knees and praise. I don't care, but praise, okay? Praise, the power of praise, the power of worship in your life. Because here's what happens. Praise and worship will lift you to another level. It'll take you to a higher place than where you are. And the best thing to take you out of your mindset of bondage or oppression is to come out with a high hand. Because you can't praise and whine at the same time. You can't speak in tongues and confess defeat at the same time. Amen. And so sometimes you just got to posture yourself to say, you know what, buddy, I'm coming out. And I'm coming out with a high hand. I'm coming out in a posture of praise. Second Timothy says, it's 1st or 2nd Timothy, I got it there somewhere, says, I'm going to lift one hand without wrath. We're going to lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubt. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes you got to lift up your hands and say, God's not mad at me. And God's got me covered. Hallelujah. We're going to lift our hands without wrath and without doubt and say, He's got this. Hallelujah. Coming out with a high hand. When Moses and them came on out of the wilderness, and they came out and they were in the battle. And the scripture says Joshua was down in the valley and he's fighting the battle. But he said, Moses, you go to the top of the mountain. Do not look at the battle from the valley standpoint. You go to the mountain because somebody's got to go to a higher place. If we're going to get the victory over this, somebody's going to have to elevate themselves to a higher place. Moses, I don't want you in the valley. I want you to go to a higher place. And he said, when you get there, he said, you lift up your hands. And as long as your hands are lifted up, you got victory over everything that's happening down the valley. You got victory over the enemy. You got victory over everything that seems like it's trying to oppress you. And so Moses, he gets in a posture and he lifts up his hands. And they got the victory. But how many know what happens after a little while? Your hands start to get heavy. Your hands get weary. And I'm not just talking about, you know, our muscles get tired from holding our hands up. How many know sometimes things start to weigh down your hands? And to all of a sudden, it seems like you got your hands so full of everything else that you can't get them up where they need to be. But what I love about this is God doesn't send Moses to the mountain by himself. And God never puts on you the responsibility of everybody else without giving you a team to work with. I mean, no, we are better together. We are better together. So he sends an Aaron and a Hur up to the top of the mountain with Moses. And he said, when his hands get weary, number one, you give him a rock to sit on. I mean, no, you got to anchor yourself to the rock when you get weary. And then you got to have somebody stand on each side of you and say, I got this hand. If you got that hand, and together we're going to get in the posture where we're going to see deliverance, not only for us, but for the whole camp of Israel that's down there. Everybody's got the victory when somebody decides to go to a higher place. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. You know, and I've given you the demonstration or the example before. Come up, Monty and Kelly, come up here real quick. Hallelujah. If Kelly is Moses, we'll make her Moses. Sorry. Okay. If Kelly is Moses, hold this, Robert.
And he's Aaron, and I'm her. Okay? Now, if she stands here with her hand, Moses, she got her hands up. She got her hands up. We can only do this for so long until what happens to our hands? They get tired. So here's what I think happened on the mountain. I think Aaron and Hur had a posture that looked more like this. If I lean in against Monty and he leans in against me, I can stand here a whole long time like this. Now, Kelly, you put your arms up on our arms. She's got a posture where she's resting on what looks a whole lot like a mercy seat, a whole lot like the blood-sprinkled mercy seat of my Savior. And when Joshua looks up from that mountain and he sees a picture that he don't even understand yet, and then there come a time in Joshua's life
when he's going to have to cross over a Jordan River by himself because Moses, my servant, is dead. And when he gets ready to cross over something, Aaron, I think in his mind says, I remember back to a day when I didn't even know what a mercy seat looked like yet because the picture had not yet been given. But all of a sudden, when I was in the valley and I needed a victory, I looked to a higher place. And when I looked to a higher place, I saw a blood-sprinkled mercy seat, and it gave me victory in the valley. And I'm going to tell those priests, you go ahead, you get that ark on your shoulder, you go ahead and step into that water, because when you do, God's going to roll back these waters and we're going to walk across on dry ground, because I know the power of God who resides on a mercy seat. Hallelujah. You got to posture yourself. Somebody's got to go to a high place. Somebody's got to see something higher, bigger than what they see in a valley. Hallelujah. So it says the children of Israel are going out of there with a high hand. I love that. They're bold. They're defiant. They're triumphant. They're powerful. They're confident. Ready to go bear hunting with a switch. That's what my mother-in-law would say. Hallelujah. But the Egyptians, everybody say but. The Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea besides Pihahiroth before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians. What did they behold? Marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Now, wait a minute. Hold it, hold it, hold it. That's what Pap would say. Two verses ago, we're going out with a high hand. We're bold. We're confident. We're triumphant. We got it. We're doing the high five. We're off the chart today. But two scriptures later, the scripture says, but the Pharaoh pursued after them. And when they looked upon the Pharaoh, their heart was fearful. See, you're going to have to choose whether you want to let your view be on what is behind you, the whole host of Pharaoh and his chariots, or what's ahead of you. You're going to have to choose what you focus on. You're going to have to choose whether you want your emphasis to be put on the chariots that pursue you or the promised land that lays ahead of you. How many know sometimes you got to make a conscious choice? Hallelujah. You got to make a conscious choice to posture yourself with a high hand and said, my God's got this. I am bold. I am confident. I am triumphant in this. I am the head and not the tail. I'm the first and not the last. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. I am a victorious one. I'm not a victim. Hallelujah. And you choose to live in that. And they said, but then they started to look back and say, oh, but I see Egyptians. And they said to him, Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. I don't know who gave that person the microphone, but somebody take it back. I mean, we're coming out with a high hand. We're victorious. We got this. We're good to go. God has delivered us out of Egypt. Then all of a sudden, somebody turns around and looks and sees Pharaoh's chariots behind him, sees what is back there. I mean, every time you turn to see what is behind you, it'll cause you to take your focus off of what is ahead of you and see nothing but fear and oppression and bondage and everything that's back behind you. You got to choose to keep your face aflint. And then somebody passed a microphone to somebody who starts to saying, I told you so. I told you you're going to take us out of Egypt. What, there's not enough graves in Egypt that we couldn't have just stayed there? And now here we are, and the Egyptians are following after us, and we're just going to die right here. We should have just died back in Egypt. I don't know about you, but I'd rather die a free man than die in Egyptian bondage any day. You understand what I'm saying? I will fight for my freedom anytime before I'll go back to those things that I know are nothing but bondage and slavery and snares unto me. Hallelujah. There are some things I will not look back to. There are some things I will not give my attention to. There are some things that I will not allow to be on my heels because I will not be under subjection to those things. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes you got to draw the line and say, I will not allow myself to be under subjection to anything other than the power of God in my life. Hallelujah. And so when they start to cry out, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation. And this is the two scriptures that the Lord, I felt like the Lord dropped in my heart this week. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, because the Egyptians that pursue you or aggravate you or torment you today are in your past. They are not in your future. Hallelujah. They are in your past. They are not in your future. Do not carry Egyptian mindsets from yesterday into tomorrow's destination or destiny in your life. He said, what you see today, you will see no more forever. Hallelujah. Do not carry it into your future. That is your yesterday. Hallelujah. How many know there are some things that are better left in your yesterday? There are some hurts that are better left in your yesterday. You know, one of the things that probably works in our marriages and in our relationships the most, that causes the most struggle, is when we go back and grab things back out of our past and try to bring them into our present day, when we should have buried them in Egypt instead of allowing them things to rear their ugly head again. If it's in the past, it's in the past. If it's been forgiven, you've been forgiven. If God has washed you by the blood, you are washed by the blood. You do not have to give account to any man for your yesterday. You're only responsible for today and where you're heading tomorrow. Hallelujah. There are some things you need to leave buried in Egypt. There are some things you need to leave back there. Hallelujah. Because every time you bring them into your today, it brings bondage. Hallelujah. It allows them to have a grip on you. Hallelujah. And so he says, stand still. I mean, you know, the scripture talks about the whole armor of God, that when we stand, we don't just, it's not talking about just don't move. It's talking about stand, but having yourself equipped and girded, having on the helmet of salvation. I got the blood of Jesus Christ covering me. The breastplate of righteousness. I'm more righteous than I ever knew I was. My loins girded about by the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth and the truth. Gonna make you free. My feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I declare that my feet are going to carry the gospel of the message of peace and not destruction, of love and not hate. Hallelujah. We stand still in that place, being covered by the armor of God that says, I am who I am by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Stand still and see the salvation of our God. Those Egyptians whom you have seen today, they are not for your tomorrow. You shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Hallelujah. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. One of the hardest things probably that we have to do. A long time ago, the Lord gave me the scripture, the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silent. There are times in my life when I have to realize that the Lord is in his holy temple. He's not asleep. He doesn't slumber or sleep. He's in charge. Just be still. Just be quiet. Say it another way. Shut up, earth. Quit trying to say things that aren't true of you. I mean, sometimes you got to silence that voice that says anything other than the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth just keep silent. Hallelujah. The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. That doesn't mean there's not a time sometimes when you got to speak, a time when you got to declare, a time when you got to profess, a time when you got to worship. It's not talking about that. It's saying there's a time when you can't fix it. So if you'll just sit back and say, the Lord has got this. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth just keep silent before him. My earth has no has no voice when the thunderings of the heavens come out of the temple of the Most High God. All voices, all the earth must keep silent before him. Stand still. There you go. I like that. Say that again, Pastor Shirley.
I said that says the Lord shall fight for you and you shall keep your peace.
Yes.
If you let the Lord do the fighting, you won't have to worry about fighting back. You just keep your peace. Peace, that's what God wants for us. He said, peace I give to you, peace that the world didn't give you, and he can't take it away from you. So, you know, all hell can come against you, but if he's for you, who can be against you?
I like that. Just keep your peace. The Lord shall fight for you and hold on to your peace. We'll just say it like that. Hold your peace. Hold on to your peace. Be at peace with what God is doing. I love verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, why are you crying to me? Hallelujah. Why are you crying to me? Wherefore criest thou unto me? King James. He said, what are you crying to me for, Moses? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. There is no retreat, no turning back. What are you crying to me for? Remember, I told you in the very beginning, you're between a rock and a hard place. The Egyptians are behind you. The Red Sea's in front of you. There is no turning around. It's pursue. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst through the midst of the sea. Why are you asking me, Moses, when the miracle is in your hand? Use your resources. What's he got in his hand? The staff, the rod. The scripture says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The same rod when he said, Moses, what do you got in your hand? He said, I got a rod. I got a staff. He said, throw it down. He throws it down and it becomes a serpent. He reaches down, takes it by the tail. It becomes a staff. He said, look at your hand. Put it into your bosom. Take it out. It's leprous. Put it back in. It's healed. What do you got in your hand, Moses? The same God who spoke to you in the wilderness that called you to go to Egypt. The same God who turned the Nile River to blood, who brought the plagues on all of Egypt. The same God who got you this far hasn't brought you here to leave you. Hallelujah. I mean, he didn't brought you here to leave you. Wherever you are in your life today, I'm saying to you, he did not bring you here to leave you. And retreat is not an option. So what do you got in your hand? Stretch it out.
Yes.
Hallelujah. If what you got in your hand is just former memories of the past victories, stretch it out. If what you got in your hand is the power of God, stretch it out. Whatever it is you got in your hand, stretch it out.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because, again, we're posturing ourselves to receive from God today. Hallelujah. Why are you crying to me, Moses? You got it in you. I mean, no, there's sometimes when we just need to stand up and say, you know, I got the power of the Holy Ghost inside of me. It doesn't have to be some great TV preacher laying hands on me for me to be healed. The same power, the same Holy Ghost. There is no little Holy Ghost. The sooner you learn that, the better. My Holy Ghost isn't any bigger than your Holy Ghost. What makes it powerful is when we come together, the streams flow together to make a river, and deep calls to deep, and we connect together and we agree, because the scripture says when two or three together and will agree in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. There's no little Holy Ghost. So what do you got in you? What do you got in your house? What do you got in your hand? Put it to use. Put it to use. Hallelujah. What do you got in your house? She didn't think she had anything. She said, I got a little bit of meal, and I got a little bit of oil. I'm going to eat it, and tomorrow I'm going to die. Were there not enough graves in Egypt? Hallelujah. You got a death mentality. It says that the world's coming to end. I'm done. God's forsaken me. All is past. How many know sometimes you just got to look again He said, you go ahead and give to me out of what you got, because you're going to find out what you got. If you're just going to let it there, it's going to mold. But if you go ahead and put it to use, it's going to multiply. It's like a seed. If you put it in the ground, you might only have one kernel of corn. But if you put it in the ground, you might have a whole bunch of ears of corn. And all of a sudden, now you got a whole bunch of seed. Yep. I mean, you know, sometimes you just got to put to use what God's already gave you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. For him to bring an increase of those things. You got more in you than you know. You've been anointed for more than we're walking in. Hallelujah.
Well, I think two things that God won't do. One is what he's already done, and another is what he's told you to do.
Pastor Shirley says two things God won't do. What he's already done and what he's told you to do. Selah. Stop and think on that a minute.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yes. Amen.
It's
paid for. Paid for. Paid for. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And I like this. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud in darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. It says that the angel that at one point was going before them now has become around and become their rear guard. Hallelujah. Has come in from behind them. The Red Sea's before them. There is no option other than pursue. There is no option other than go forward. There is no retreat. The whole host of Pharaoh is behind them. But it said the angel that was before them not only was ahead of them before, but now he's come around behind. Can I just tell you today, he's got your back. He's got your back. When you think maybe that there's an option of going back, there he stands. There he stands. He's got your back. Hallelujah. He's got you covered. He's brought he can bring a wall between you and the adversary or the enemy that would try to torment you. Hallelujah. Not only is he taking you the direction you need to go, but he's got your back covered also. Do you know that in the armor of God, there is no armor for the back?
Yeah.
Only for the front? You know why that is? He's got your back. There is no retreat. There is no turning around. Hallelujah. How many know he's got our back today? He's got your back today. And I really felt like the Lord spoke that scripture to me this week. I felt like he prophetically spoke it to me for certain people. But I want to say to you this morning, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. How many are wanting to see some salvation in a whole lot of areas of our life? Whether it be natural salvations. I have never lost my passion for people being saved, for people coming to understand salvation. I love and I rejoice when somebody gets saved. But how many know our salvation is even a progressive thing? He saved me, but he's saving me. Day by day, he's saving me. Hallelujah. I'm going to stand still. I'm going to stand firm. And I'm refused to allow what was in my yesterday to come into my but today or my tomorrow. Hallelujah. For the Egyptians I see now, I will see no more forever. Hallelujah. He's got our back, and I refuse to come out any other way than with a high five and a high hand. Hallelujah. Do you believe that today? And I will fight for you. He will fight for you. Hold on to your peace today. I love that. Hold on to your peace and don't let anything shake you or unsettle you or cause you to lose faith in the God who sent you on the journey that you're on. How many believe God has you on a journey that you're on today and there is no retreat in it? Hallelujah. We used to sing the song, Sweeter Gets the Journey, every day. Serving Jesus really pays. I get so happy in the heavenly way. Sweeter gets the journey every day. I believe that. I believe we can live in a place where the journey with God is a sweet one. There may be things along the way, but how many know there may be obstacles and there may be things that come in our way, but they don't have to rule our day. They don't have to steal my praise. They don't have to take me out of a posture of worship. They don't have to make me turn my head and look back to what used to be. And those things can be, you know, they can be mindsets. How many know sometimes even in religious bondage and things like that, when you start to come out of it, you get a little bit fearful. Before you know it, you want to kind of creep back into it because it was safe there. But how many know God will never lead you out of anything that he doesn't take you into something greater in your life? Hallelujah. We cannot ever change Egyptian bondage for the rest of Canaan land, our promised land. Our promised land is not a piece of destination we're trying to get to. It's a person named Jesus Christ where our rest is. Hallelujah. The Egyptian bondage wasn't any person, wasn't any culture or creed or any nationality. It was a mindset of slavery and poverty and captivity that kept them from their full potential in God. Amen? There are things that will rob you of your full potential and of your inheritance in God if you allow it. But we're coming out with a high hand. Do you believe that this morning? Yes. Hallelujah. We're coming out with a high hand, high-fiving it because I'm off the charts today. Tell somebody I'm off the chart today. Hallelujah. Go ahead and give me a high five because I'm off the chart today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got the victory. Hallelujah. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Hallelujah. The Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Hallelujah. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Whatever that is that you are looking at today, declare over it this morning, I will see it no more forever. Amen. It's in my past. Hallelujah. It's in my yesterday. It's not in my today or my tomorrow. It's in my yesterday. Hallelujah. I will see it no more forever. Hallelujah. We need to declare that and just decree it over ourselves today. Decree it over your household. Decree it over your life. Decree it over your finances. Declare it and decree it over people that you've been crying out to. Lord, they need your salvation. Lord, they need your deliverance out of bondage. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Amazing grace.